Let's give God glory for his words. Raise your Bibles, and the kids are free to go to children's church. Father, we thank you for your word that is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. Thank you that all scripture is God-breathed and inspired, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in your righteousness. Amen. Amen, amen. September 3rd, we're going to be at Ocean Grove. I got real excited this weekend because we went to Friday night, my wife and I, to just be blessed and encourage one of our friends whose worship team was ministering at Ocean Grove Friday night. I got super excited at what God's going to do on September 3rd when we're there, to worship at the beach and to baptize into the kingdom of God. If you have never been baptized, or were baptized maybe in another faith, or as a young baby or as a child, and since then you've gotten to a place where you've rededicated and recommitted your life to God, and you want to be baptized again as a symbol of really the new person that you are now, please see me, because we want to give God glory for what he's doing in your life. And we want to testify before God and man what God is doing in your life. Amen? Last week we talked about spreading, spotting, staying, and then sending. About encouraging. And you were charged, you were encouraged to take a step of faith and just intentionally build relationships with those that you already have a relationship with, those that you see, that you connect with. I pray you are doing that. I can't wait to hear testimonies of that. Take advantage of the summer. Reach out, touch someone's life. If you don't know what we're talking about, listen to it on the church website. The message is up. Evangelism is not a scary thing. It's all about relationships. Discipleship is all about being friends. That's it. But today we're starting a new series over the next few weeks. And it's titled Overcoming Fear. Overcoming Fear. Now, I know I'm probably speaking to the choir because nobody here has any fears they need to overcome or anything they need to deal with, right? We've all got it so together. Well, I'll be the first to tell you, God is teaching me before he's even teaching you through me, okay? He's speaking to me before I'm even opening up my mouth to share these things with you. But today we're talking about the fear of rejection, overcoming the fear of rejection. Our verse for this series is 1 John 4:18. Therefore, there is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear. Why? Because fear involves torment. How many of you know God does not want you to live in torment? Yes. Whether it's emotional, mental, or physical, and spiritual. He did not create you and I to live in torment. Fear causes torment. Therefore, it directly goes against God's intention for you. His plans for you. Fear cripples, fear hinders, fear keeps us from entering into our destiny. And these different fears that we are going to address in this series are going to challenge us to take steps to overcome them so that we can step into our destiny in Christ, our purpose in Him. Fear cripples us from doing that. So we overcome Him by His love. For true love, perfect love, casts out fear. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. So what does that mean? That means there's maybe areas in our lives that we haven't opened up to the love of Christ. That's all that means. It means there's still room to grow. It means that today is a day that I will begin to to let God enter a sensitive place in my life, in my heart, that I may have never allowed him to enter in before to produce the healing I need so that place will no longer be a stronghold in my life and be a place of torment inside my heart. Because here's the thing. What we don't overcome now is only going to happen again in the future in a different shape, in a different form, in a different time, in a different way. But it's still going to be the same thing that at some point we've got to overcome. If we don't, we're going to keep having that same obstacle over and over. That same challenge over and over. Today, we're going to deal with rejection. I looked up the word rejection, to reject, in the dictionary. Dictionary definition of reject is simply to refuse to have, to or take, or to recognize. To refuse to grant. To refuse to accept or rebuff. To discard as useless. And this is what, unfortunately, where we all, or most of us are, when it comes to dealing with rejection. Discard as useless or unsatisfactory, to cast out or eject, to vomit, to cast out or off, to have an immunological reaction against. In other words, it's a repulsive thing that hinders us. A psychologist, his name is Gary Winch, we wrote an article recently, Why Rejection Hurts So Much. This is a quote from him. The greatest damage rejection causes is usually self-inflicted. This is a secular psychologist. The greatest damage rejection causes is usually self-inflicted. Just when our self-esteem is hurting most, we go and damage it even further. He also goes on to say, of course, emotional pain is only one of the ways rejection impacts our well-being. Rejection also damages our mood and our self-esteem. They elicit swells of anger and aggression, and they destabilize our need to belong. In other words, within all that stuff that it attacks, it makes us feel like we don't belong. We don't have a place. How many of us, the biggest fear of going somewhere new, starting something new, is feeling out of place? Feeling like, do I really belong here? First time as a 26-year-old licensed minister going into a meeting with 50, quote, seasoned ministers who are in their 40s and 50s and 60s and 70s, ministering for 20, 30, 40 plus years. Let me tell you, I felt like I didn't belong. Nobody was rejecting me, but I felt rejected because of my own insecurities and self-esteem. Guy Winch, in this article, suggests three things that could help work through rejection emotions, or the emotions of rejections. One, and I share them because they're interesting, have zero tolerance for self-criticism. That's great, right? I'm not going to criticize myself. But if I already think of myself as unworthy, you think that's going to go far? I don't already know my self-worth. Also says, boost feelings of social connection. In other words, surround yourself with positive people and people that make you feel good. If you already feel out of place, like you don't belong, like you're inferior, how much courage are you going to have to be in a room full of people? How much courage are you going to have to step into it if you already feel your low self-worth? You don't have that identity of who you really are. How do I do this when I already think so low of myself and my self-esteem and my self-worth is shot? And then, you know, his third suggestion was revive your self-worth. Really? revive yourself with. That's great. But what do I measure it up against? How do I revive my self-worth? Well, there's two ways I can feel better about who I am. One is walk in a room and have everybody in the room say, hey, you're the greatest person we know. Love having you. We wanted you. We couldn't even start without you, right? How often does that happen? The other way is to put people lower than me. Put down people. Squash people. So that I can feel better about myself by putting others down. That's not good either. See, there's a real difference between being rejected and feeling rejected. Being rejected is the verb. It's the act of saying, I turn this down. This is not good. I don't want this. We do that all the time, right? We're flipping station. We're rejecting shows that we don't want to watch. Husbands reject direction from wives they don't want to hear. We do it all the time. But feeling rejected, deal is the noun. It's the emotions. It becomes self-descriptive of who I am. When I feel rejected, what I'm doing is describing me as less than. I describe my identity, and my worth is attached to it. So if I'm feeling rejected, that what I'm telling myself is, I'm not worth enough to meet this standard. So what do I have to do to feel better? See, as a high school kid, my very first crush, and my wife knows this story well, I happened to do an exchange concert. Our orchestra at school did an exchange concert with an orchestra in a high school in Ohio. They came here first, did a concert, then we went for a weekend to Ohio, did a concert. At that time, I was about a 220 plus in weight at like 16 years old. So I was very fat, very pudgy, very everything, pretty much. And then the house that a few of us stayed in had a young lady, 16, 17 years old, who played a clarinet for that band. Happened to be a Christian home too, out of all things. And I was very much attracted to her. And I was like, whoa, Lord, this is you. And you know how teenage thoughts go at that point. So when she did not reciprocate the desires I had, I felt rejected. My mind was, I was not worthy for her. How do I make myself worthy to meet her standards? I went home that summer and next 6-7 months and lost over 50 pounds, started working out like crazy, thinking it was because I was too fat. And losing weight would be the way I would feel worthy. That's how we are. That's how we act. See, the problem was, it probably had nothing to do with my weight. It had to do with me feeling rejected. And I chose to use that as an example for that. The problem isn't the act of being rejected. It's what I think of myself when I feel rejected. See, the fear of being rejected has everything to do with who am I now if I am rejected? Who am I now? I'm afraid to be rejected because what's it going to do to who I am, my identity? Everything I thought that I am, I'm not. Because I'm not grounded. What do I think of myself now? If one rejects me, surely someone else will also. If you rejected me, then I know I'm going to be rejected by others too. If you don't like me, they're not going to like me. How can I be confident in who I am again if I'm being turned down? It starts to affect your self-esteem. If you let it, if you don't know who you are and your worth. What's wrong with me that I'm being rejected? These are the questions that start to affect our psyche. But it's really not a mental thing. It's a heart thing. And I'll show you that in a minute. Am I good enough? I start asking myself. See, it's all turned inward focused. It becomes part of my identity. I'm questioning everything about myself. But see, in order to overcome my fear of rejecting, I need to know two things. One, who I am, and more specifically, who I am in Christ. How Christ views me. And two, what is my worth to him? How much worth am I to Christ? Because see, he died because he felt I was worthy enough to die for. He gave up his life because I was worth giving up his life for. You can't put a price on that. No greater love than laying down your life for someone. In other words, your life is worth enough for me to give my life to. Husbands, wives, when we get married and make those vows, what you're saying to your husband or your wife, your life is worth enough for me to give you my heart, to give you my life, to serve you. Husbands, serve you, be your priest, minister to you as Christ loved the church. Wives, submitting yourself in the love of Christ, in humility, in the Word of God, in the power of His Holy Spirit, as the church submits to God to do the work of the kingdom together. Because the church does the work of the kingdom in Christ and in the power of His Spirit. Therefore, the couple does the work of the kingdom together in those things. They're not mutually exclusive. It's together. It's my identity and my worth. Knowing our identity and our worth in Christ will lead to a quenching of that spirit of fear and rejection. Because then I know no matter what anyone else says or does, because see, people can reject me in certain places and it doesn't bother me a bit. You don't like my work? Hey, okay, no big deal. But then we all have those parts of our hearts, the tender places where our emotions are connected, where that same person who might have rejected some area of my life where it didn't bother me, reject me in this area and it pierces the heart. Why? Because I have not submitted that before God. And therefore, whether we realize it or not, it becomes an area of fear because we protect it. We try to cover it. See, our self-worth and self-esteem has a direct correlation with our ability to overcome rejection. Insecurity of our identity is an antagonist. It goes directly against security in who I am in Christ. Rejection attacks the very person that we are. It destroys our self-esteem, attacks who we are, and our purpose in life. This is why it is the most common tool the devil uses to destroy a person's life, take you away from being confident stepping into your destiny. God never wanted us to feel rejected or abandoned. He desires for us to know who we really are and realize how deeply He loves us, that we were worth dying for, and accepts us, and appreciates us at the very core, so that we can live out the fullness of God in what He's ordained us to be. God's Word says this, that without being rooted and grounded in the love and acceptance of God, we can't experience the fullness of God. And that fullness includes that part of us that has to do with our self-worth. See, when we are afraid of being rejected, we're going to do one of two things. Either not stepping into something in faith, or we're going to reject it before it rejects us. And I think we've all at one point or another done either or. Haven't been confident enough because our psyche, really our heart, is so tender in this place to step into it, so we don't do it because I don't want to feel unworthy, like a failure, which we're going to get into next week, the fear of failure. But we don't step into it. Or we start something. But then, as soon as the road gets a little rough or rocky, start a relationship. Or when things aren't rosy, when that honeymoon period ends, what do? We run away before they say no. This is what goes on in our minds and hearts. Even if it's not a reality, we run away. We reject them before they reject us. We attack them before we feel we're being attacked. That's what that fear of rejection does to us. So how do we overcome it? Only in being rooted and grounded in the love, acceptance of God, we can experience the fullness of His grace on us. Ephesians 3:16 and 19 says this, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory. Remember, Ephesians also says He's given us every spiritual blessing under heaven for those in Christ Jesus. So He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in where? The inner man. That area of my life. Every area of my life. That Christ might dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, what? Being grounded and rooted in what? Love. True love. Perfect love casts out all fear. Grounded in that love. See, Jesus never said, get away from me, I don't want you. I don't love you. Who's the only person Jesus said, get behind me, get out of my face? Said Satan. When Satan filled Peter's heart and Peter acted foolishly. Jesus wasn't talking to Peter. He was rejecting Satan. He said, get away from him. Get behind me. Get out of my face. I'm rejecting you, devil. I don't reject you, Peter. Why? Because I just told you you were a rock that I'm going to build my church on. Jesus never rejects the man. And now, I'm not talking about when judgment comes. That's a whole different thing. I'm talking about our relationship with Christ right now as we live and breathe here on earth. He has never rejected a single human being. We reject Him. So the thought of Christ rejecting us not being worthy enough. See, the devil uses those thoughts because a lot of times we associate God with men in our lives who might have treated us wrongly. Whether it's a father figure or just a male, dominant male person in our life, a patriarch in the family, somebody whose characteristics and mannerisms, as we've grown up, we've attributed to God. So sometimes our struggle with feeling and being afraid, why would God want me? Because I've heard that before. I'm no good. I've done so many bad things. Why would God want me? Is that fear? Why should I even accept Him? Because He's going to reject me or try. That fear that says don't even try or step into faith is because we have preconceived lies that the devil has filled our heads with that we've accepted based on how we grew up and the things we've done through life, our life experiences. Jesus directly speaks against that. The Holy Spirit is directly against that and wants to renew our mind with what? The perfect love of God. Jesus did not come and die so that you guys I'm going to accept, the rest of you I'm going to reject. I'm only going to accept the ones who were at the 50-cent margin of being good. But those who cross that margin into the realm of being a little worse, I'm not going to accept. That's not what Jesus came for. He came to die for everyone. The thief on the cross who entered paradise with him. There was no margin. His love is deep and wide. It's ever reaching, never ending. Being grounded and rooted in that love and in his word. See, I accept his love. Now I need to fill this with his word. And again, this is a plug to get into your Bible, to get into a home group. You need to grow in the word of God. You don't know how many people I've counseled and talked to and prayed with. When I go back to them, it's the same thing over again. Why? Are you reading your Bible? Are you studying? Are you being accountable? Are you getting into the word and letting the word of God speak to you? Or is it just a book that's a nice reading that you read when you want to? His word has to renew our mind. That's that grounding in his love, because his word is love. Just read John 1. In the beginning was the word was with God, the word was God, the word became flesh. What did that flesh do? He died to show you your worth, because he loves you. He made love perfect, being rooted and grounded, continuing in Ephesians 3, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and depth, length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which what? Passes all knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. We got to get this grounding. I need to realize and accept that I was worth dying for. You know, the old question a lot of evangelists will say is, Jesus would have died for you if you were the only one. Did you know that? And that's so true. But the amazing thing is, you and I weren't the only ones. Every one of us is worth more than we think we are to God. Words, dollar signs cannot put a price at what are worth to God. That's how much he loves us. 1 Samuel, I want to show you this, in 17, 5 through 11. Saul was king. See, Saul was special to God. He was anointed by God as the first king of Israel. His worth was already established to the kingdom, for the kingdom of God in heaven. His worth was already declared upon him when Samuel the prophet anointed him as king of God, for the kingdom of God. And what we know from the Old Testament, a king, a human king, represented God to the people. So therefore, he was a representation of heaven to the people. The heart of God to the people. So for you to be that, you better know you have a special place in God's heart for you. Or he would not have trusted you out of everyone in the world. But see, Saul had a problem. He never fully overcame a stronghold that was with him, or delivered from a stronghold, or set free from a stronghold that was with him even before he became anointed as king. His worth was already established. There is absolutely no question what he was worth in the eyes of God. But see, if you know the story, when Samuel went to anoint Saul as king, Saul went and hid behind a bunch of barrels of hay because he didn't feel he was worthy of it. So he had that already as a seed in his life. But then he anointed and he did great things for God. But he never opened his heart up to that special, that tender place where that seed could be quenched and he can be set free from that. What was the result of that? Here's the story. Beginning verse 5. So David went out wherever Saul sent him and behaved wisely. Saul set him over men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. Now it happened as they were coming home when David was returning from the slaughter of the Philistines that the women had come out of all the cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tambourines, with joy and with musical instruments. So the women sang as they danced and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Then Saul was very angry and the saying displeased him, and he said, they have ascribed to David 10,000 and to me they have ascribed only thousands. Now what more can he have but the kingdom? So Saul eyed David from that day forward. And it happened on the next day that the distressing spirit from God came upon him. Why? Because he opened up his heart. He never let God deal with it. And he prophesied inside the house. So David played music with his hand. And as at other times, but there was a spear in Saul's hand. And Saul threw the spear, for he said, I will pin David to the wall. But David escaped his presence twice. He threw a spear at David, trying to kill him while he's playing. It's like having, you know, Tracy leading worship, and I'm going, man, she's got the whole church going, and, you know, I can only get a few people going, so let me go outside and get a brick and throw it at her to knock her out so I can claim. Think about that. Saul was king over Israel. The king had to run a country. A good king delegates as a good leader does. He had no reason to be jealous of David because David was following his orders. If somebody that I put in a position in the church that I anoint and bless and commission and mentor and disciple succeeds, I'm rejoicing with them because we're their covering. Saul is David's covering. But see, because Saul was never set free from that and never revealed it and placed it at the altar of God, that fear of rejection, that spirit of rejection was in him. He still got declared as slaying thousands, but you know what? When you're running politically a nation, you're not supposed to be on the field of battle. That's why you have generals. So it should not have been a problem that David slew tens of thousands. They weren't not glorifying the David because they were also singing, not glorifying Saul because they were also singing to Saul. But see, that spirit was in him. And that fear based in that low self-worth that was prevalent from the very beginning that he never let God deal with. He never found his worth in God. And even position as king, as a representation of God, was not enough for his heart to grasp his worth to the kingdom of God. He struggled with that. And that's where we struggle with. Saul's insecurity led to a fear that the people were rejecting him for David. So he's like, so what? Now he wants my kingdom, so let me kill him before he takes my kingdom. Now he was afraid. See, here's the funny thing. He had nothing to be afraid of if for no other reason God put him on the throne. And it was going to be God who would put the next king on the throne. Now it happened to be David, but that's because Saul went overboard. Saul stepped outside of the will of God. And in a way, remember what I shared with you. People who struggle with rejection and a fear of rejection are either not going to step into something or are going to reject before being rejected as they step into it. So what did he do? He rejected before he was actually being rejected in his mind. So he attacked David, who loved him, before he thought he would be rejected. And then he rejected God before he actually knew that God rejected him and started doing things his way instead of God's way. He was not grounded and secure in his worth in the perfect love of God. He forgot that God did not reject him at that point, but that God appointed him. See, I'm going to go real quick here, show you some of the fruit of rejection and the fear of rejection, okay? It's rebellion, spirit of rebellion. Fabrication of personalities. In other words, you start trying to be something you're not. A tendency to reject others before they reject you. A tendency to always wonder if a person will reject you or accept you. You're always thinking, I met somebody new. Are they going to like me or not? The need to fit in or be accepted by others so you conform. Self-pity, where you start feeling sorry for yourself if you start feeling like you don't fit in. Inability to be corrected, because this is important, because it goes against humility, because God corrects his children. So now my mind says, if somebody tries to correct me, even in love, they're rejecting me. When we're supposed to correct in love with the Word of God, in the ways of God. Okay? This is important here. If you're being corrected, you're not being rejected. Don't believe that lie from the enemy. Tendency to blame God. Rejection creates an environment where you are starved for love. You're starved for love when it's not love that you need, because you've already been loved, but it's because you don't feel your worth, so you always think there's more. So you're not feeding yourself. See, we tell people here, you're no good for a mate or a partner, a wife or a husband, if you haven't gotten things right with God. Because if you don't feel your worth with God, you're never going to feel worthy to measure up to your partner. This is important. If God is not good enough for you, if I am not secure in my identity and worth with God and God alone, I will never be, whether I have a wife or not. I will never be if God isn't my everything. I need to find my worth in God first before I try to find it in people. Why? Because as soon as I find it in Susie here, it's not going to be enough for me. So I'm going to have to go to somebody else. It will never be enough. Our old pastor, Pastor Joe, taught me this lesson. If somebody doesn't have God in their life, you will never be enough for them. If God isn't enough, you will never be. Same thing applies. God isn't enough. No one will ever be enough. Find your place in God. Tendency to blame God for things. A sense of pride that says, how dare they reject me? Opinionated personality, where you need to be right all the time to feel good. Again, putting others down before they put you. Feelings of self-worthlessness, insecurity, hopelessness. Seeking parental approval. Another fruit of this rejection and fear is you're always looking to be approved by a parental or authority figure. Even when you do things right, you will not feel it's right or worth anything unless that person says, you did a great job. And if they didn't say that, you're going to feel like you screwed up or it wasn't good enough for you. That's where being grounded in the perfect love of God says, well done, my good and faithful servant, that I'm good enough. Envy, jealousy, even hate can be rooted in rejection. Fear of confrontation. Don't confront. Man, that's a struggle for me. For the longest time, if I felt like my wife and I's discussion escalated from a difference of an opinion, and even sometimes, even a difference of opinion, into something louder or more, passionate, thank you. She was rejecting me. So I would clam up. And I would rather be passive and be quiet than continue it, because the more it went, the more I would feel rejected, that I'm not worthy enough. I'm messing everything up. When in reality, she wasn't rejecting me. We were actually having an adult conversation and being human and doing what we're supposed to do, talking about things, discussing things, even in difference of opinion. And if we're still in the end, difference of opinion, we go to God, because the Holy Spirit's in both of us. Holy Spirit's one spirit. Therefore, he will bring a revelation of truth. Then we come back. If I'm wrong, I say I'm sorry. If she's wrong, she says she's sorry. If we're both wrong, we both say we're sorry. And we move on in what God has for us. Fear of confrontation and an attitude of I will reject you, as I said before, they reject me. These are just some of the fruit. Compare them to the fruit of the Holy Spirit. That's part of the perfection of God's love. 1 John 4:17 through 19 says, love has been perfected among us in this. Right now. I'm telling you right now. This is prophetic right now. Love has been perfected among us here today in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because as he is, not he was or will be, as he is now, so are we in the world. His perfect love is made perfect in us as we allow him to. That we can be in the world as he is in the world, alive. His perfect love can be exemplary and be exemplified in our lives and break forth in our relationship and overcome rejection. Why? Because I was worth not just dying for, but remember the second part of that. Actually, it's the third part. Because he came, he died, he rose, and what did he do? He imparted his spirit. Can you imagine? Not only worth dying for, but worth carrying on. That he gave us the keys to the kingdom to carry on. We were found worthy enough to God, perfected in his love, to carry the same spirit that was in Christ Jesus, that healed the sick, cleansed the leper, rose the dead, told Satan to get out of my face, is in us today. We were that worth it. If we walk with that attitude and that boldness, you think rejection, that spirit of rejection, a fear of rejection, is going to have any hold on us today? Man, God has been teaching me a whole lot this week. Why? Because there is no fear in love. This is the fullness of the verse. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear has involved torment. And he who fears has not been made perfect in love. And why we love him, why? Because he first loves us. In your bulletin today, I like to give this out every 6 to 12 months. You have an insert of who you are in Christ. Starts off with, I am a child of God. I'm not going to go through that with you. That's for you. When you feel you're struggling with your worth and your identity of who you are in Christ, you need to pull that out. You all did have it, right? It's in the bulletin? Okay. You need to pull that out. You need to put that on your mirror where you get dressed in the morning. You need to pull that and tape that to your medicine cabinet where you brush your teeth. You need to put that on your cabinets in your kitchen where you get your glasses and your cups. For those of you, us that spend a lot of time in the toilet, you put it where you can see it while you're on the toilet. I don't care. You put it in your Bible. You put it wherever you need to see it till those things don't become what you read but a part of who you are. You know who you are and your worth to Christ. You guys who are students, put it on your folder, inside your folder flap, tape it. It's important to know these things because that's what God thinks of you. That's how much you are worth to God. John 6:37 says, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out." That means you go to him, he's not rejecting you. He has not rejected you. Christ promised never to reject you and me. Close with this, Romans 8, 38 through 39. Love this. "For I am persuaded, or I am convinced, or I know that I know that I know that I know that I know without a doubt that there is neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers nor things present or things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing," that includes people, includes people, and people are bosses, people are spouses, people are children. God knows you have a teenager, you've been feeling rejected. "People shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Amen. You overcome the fear of rejection and the spirit of rejection by claiming who you are in Christ and how much you are worth to him. That realization. I want you to stand up. Before we break up into our little prayer groups today, and our prayer groups, let me make sure you understand what I'm saying. In our prayer groups today, I want the focus to be on praying for each other to know who we are in him and our worth to him. And if that's a struggle in you, please share it. You don't have to go into detail about what happened and who said what, but if that's a struggle, just let your prayer group pray over you and come alongside you. It's a beautiful thing. But before we do that, I want you to repeat a prayer. We are going to break this curse. We're going to tear down this stronghold right now. Okay? We're going to come against the spirit of rejection. So I'd like you guys to just symbolically in faith, you know, we raise our hands like this with palms up in a receiving position. I'd like you to just do that and just close your eyes. And I want you in your minds, just picture that you are speaking to Jesus. And I want you to repeat this prayer with me. As I say the words, then repeat it. "Father, I ask you to forgive me for opening the door to the doubt of who I am in you and my worth to you. I repent, changing my mind of these things, and I receive the blessing of the knowledge of who I am in you and to you. I come against the spirit of doubt, insecurity, low self-worth, low self-esteem, and the spirit of fear that has made me think of myself as unworthy and inadequate. Holy Spirit, I ask you to fill me with the wisdom and revelation of God's love for me and His full acceptance of me. And I declare 2 Timothy 1:7 over myself. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Lord, I bless each one right now as you stir in their hearts, Holy Spirit, and they are breaking free right now of their fear of being unworthy and rejected, that they are free now to walk in the fullness of your love, in the full knowledge of who they are and how much they mean to you. Would you break right now up in groups of three and fours, just praying for each other, nobody alone. You are free to go after you have prayed in your groups. You are dismissed to go in His love. But just encourage and declare over each other that you're worth. Tell the person next to you, you are precious and worth to God. Amen. Story of it.